selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens, and this show is called Rock the Boat, and it is broadcast right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little network on the internet, and I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm still still extremely freaking sore from my little run-in with the canine unit that was put into the courtroom during Michael Schmidt's trial, in which I was violently attacked from behind. I didn't see that coming at all. Ouch. And so, let's see, I've been to the hospital 3 times. I got some x-rays. I got to go for a scan. I'm supposed to go with physiotherapy, and I'm supposed to take pain pills, which I'm not taking because I don't like pills, and so I'm quite sore, and I guess we'll just go and file some paperwork on these two ossifers and see if we can't teach them a lesson, but so be it. Anyway, speaking of police, and it's so sad, you know, because these are apparently special police that were brought in from a canine unit, I guess, because the guy that really did the hurting on me, I thought he looked like a Doberman because he got these beady little dark eyes on him. Big bugger. My buddy figures he weighs in about 270. And he come down on me hard. But maybe that's why they call them the canine unit. They look like Dobermans. I don't know. Bloody ridiculous anyways. And it's sad because, you know, if the regular police had been there, we've been talking to these guys for years. And they were pretty crazy when we first started going to court. But after several years of talking to them, and explaining what their real role is supposed to be, we've brought them down to a point where they're more apt to stand on our side than on the other side. And they've proven that on several occasions, acting like real police men, not policy enforcers. So they went, the Crown went and brought some canine guys in from somewhere, and uh, And when it let loose hard and fast. But we'll deal with it. Here's a judge that's not too happy with the police. And this is in Toronto Star, and it's judge blasts OPP officers for egregious strip search of impaired driving suspect. The judge stayed an impaired driving charge and impaired driving charges against a woman facing after she was forced to remove her bra at an Ontario Provincial Police detachment. So as Ontario's police watchdog continues its systematic review of policies of police strip search practices across the province, a Belleville judge has come down strongly on an OPP detachment for failing to follow the law around the controversial practice. Ontario Court Justice Elaine Deluzio stayed impaired charges last month against Julian Judson, who was told by officers to remove her underwire bra when there were no reasonable grounds to do so after she was taken to police station in May of 2016. Deluzio said she was not only concerned with what happened to Judson, but also the fact that the officers involved testified they would continue to ask female detainees to remove the bras. The indifference expressed by both officers, Amanda McFadden and Janet Allaire, to their obligation as police officers to abide by the legal constraints surrounding strip searches is very concerning, Deluzio, the judge, wrote. And the apparent willingness of both officers and possibly other police officers at Quinte West OPP detachment to continue with the practice of removing at least every underwire bra worn by female detainees, knowing that this practice, when implemented automatically and without exception towards every female detainee, is illegal and is an abuse of police power. Strip searching is inherently humiliating and degrading, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled in a landmark case over 15 years ago. And it should only be done when there are reasonable grounds to do so, such as looking for weapons or evidence relating to the arrest. Yet police officers across the province have continued to conduct what judges have deemed to be illegal strip searches, where there were no grounds to have detainees remove their clothes. The illegal searches have resulted in lawsuits against police and criminal cases being tossed. The situation became so bad that the Office of the Independent Police Review Director announced last July it was launching a province-wide systematic review into strip searches and practices. The review is ongoing. But the question here is, all the way through this story, it says these strip searches are illegal. Now, and it's resulted in lawsuits against the police and criminal cases being tossed, but nowhere in here does it say that criminal charges have been laid against the police for admittedly, knowingly, and continually breaking the law. And this is a huge problem, because the police, the OPP here, and if you look up the OPP Act, you will see in there, it means the force, okay, is what it means. It doesn't mean police officers. It doesn't mean policy and force. It means the force. And if you look up force, so they're known as the force, not police, not OPP. They're called that, but they're known as the force, which is to exert force upon an adversary, conquer by violence, power, compulsion, force to violate a woman, compel by force, constrain someone to do something, meaning bringing about an unusual effort, and so on and so forth. And that's what it means. So the OPP, the Ontario Provincial Police, if you look that up in their act or whatever it is, it says known as the force. So, you know, what they should have on their cars is the force. Beware. Because we may exert some serious force on you, and we're going to conquer you by violence. And I mean, this is makes perfect sense. You know, they got somebody on the ground and they step on their face and taser them. Now, that has to be against the law, but it doesn't matter. Just like these strip searches are against the law. It says over and over in that article, it's against the law, but they go ahead and do it anyways. So you are supposed to, you know, it says the judges say that, ignorance is no excuse in law. Well, here you have the police force who knows the law, admits to breaking the law, and says it has no intention of doing anything different. But God forbid you should roll up to a stop sign and your wheel turns a quarter inch and doesn't come to a complete stop. They call that a rolling stop, and you're going to get a ticket. Now, did you break a law? Not really. It's about taking your capital from you. It's really getting out of hand. Now, where was that other story I seen? That was in the Toronto paper as well, which is totally wrong unless I read it wrong. But I'm going to go look at it, see if it's still there. It's another police story. This is a new police story. I just checked this a few hours ago. And there was a police story in here, but I see they got a new one in here. Let's see. This is brilliant. This is another story of just how out of whack, serve and protect. Eh? Serve and freaking protect. Like, give me a break. Yes, sirree. Now this poor woman here, it's a woman. Looks like a woman. I see she's on crutches here. It says, police punch woman, use dog during arrest after mistaking her for a black male suspect. Huh? Tanya Hargrove, 19, was taken to hospital for treatment of her injuries, including abrasions on her face and scrapes and punctures from the police dog. On Tuesday, Hargrove rode her bike to try to buy her dad a Father's Day gift. Temperatures in California. So the temperatures in Bakersfield had reached triple digits, so she stopped on her way home to take a drink of water in the shade. The 19-year-old turned around at the intersection where she had paused and noticed three police cars. One of the officers said already had his gun drawn. What followed, according to both Hargrove and the police, was a case of mistaken identity and an altercation in which police punched Hargrove in the mouth, unleashed a police canine dog on her, and arrested her. Though the incident took place on June 18th, it gained wider attention this week after the Bakersfield chapter of the NAACP shared a video of Hargrove's account on his Facebook page that garnered millions of views. On the day police stopped Hargrove, officers have been looking for a suspect described as a 25 to 30-year-old bald black man standing 5'10" and weighing about 170 pounds who had threatened several people with a machete in a nearby grocery store, according to a police report. She appeared to be male and matched the description of the suspect that had brandished the machete and was also within the same complex the suspect had fled to, Christopher Moore of the arresting officer wrote in his report. Guy might want to get a set of glasses. But Hargrove is none of those things. For starters, she's female. She stands 5'2", weighs 115 pounds soaking wet, according to her father, and she's not bald. And is widely, by to her father, a widely shared video of Hargrove's account of the incident posted on Facebook for the Bakersfield chapter of the NAACP. In the video, Hargrove stands with a pair of crutches near the intersection where she was stopped by police and described how one of the officers demanded she give him her backpack, she said. When she asked if they had a warrant, one of the officers gestured towards a police canine behind him, and she said, I then got scared, and then I was like, here, take the backpack, just take the backpack. After that, she said in the video, the officer grabbed her by the wrist and punched her and threw her to the ground. Shortly afterward, the police canine came and started eating at my leg. The same officer then put his knee on her back and the other knee against her head despite her protest. I told him, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. I then started yelling out, somebody help me, they're going to kill me, she said. And then finally he let me up. I tied my hands behind my back, and then he tied my feet together, and he threw me in the back of the car. According to the police report, Hargrove was arrested for resisting or delaying an officer and aggravated assault on an officer. This is another thing that drives me nuts. You know, these are things that the police are taught to do and say, right? Well, she was resisting arrest. How? She's 5'2", weighs 115 pounds, and you're a cop with a dog. How in the hell is she supposed to resist your arrest? Especially when you got your knee, after you punched her in the face, and you got your knee on her back and your knee in her head. It's like these people are untouchable, these cops, and we got to bring them into line here. And they're crazy. They're absolutely gone nuts. This is out on a street corner, and they don't give a damn. In my case, I'm in a courtroom, right? Now, I didn't cuss at the judge. I didn't say anything nasty to the judge. I just brought to his attention that at that point in time, he was actually obstructing justice. And then I said, I'm out of here, and started backing out of there. And got just pounded. Now, what exactly did I do wrong? Nothing. And now I'm all kind of screwed up here because I'm supposed to be redoing a house right now, and I can't even open the door handle with my left hand. But hey. Maybe he mistaken me for a 5'2" black woman weighing 115 pounds soaking wet. Maybe that's what's the problem. I don't know. These people are nuts. I mean, and they're carrying guns. We got to bring them into a place of responsibility. Okay, so according to the police report, she was arrested for resisting or delaying an officer and aggravated assault on an officer. Hargrove was taken to a nearby hospital for treatment of her injuries, including abrasions on her face, scrape punctures from the dog on her right thigh. Moore, the arresting officer, wrote in his report. Moore noted that several nurses at the hospital referred to Hargrove as a male, and that when I corrected them and advised them she was a female, they were surprised and apologized for the mistake. After she was treated for her injuries, Hargrove was booked into jail. The report said she was detained for nearly 16 hours before being bailed out by her parents. In the police report, Moore wrote that Hargrove had spun into one of the officers with her left shoulder, causing him to fall backward, and then quickly maneuvered her body to get back on top of him. After the officer punched her. At this time, I was forced to quickly consider the following. Hargrove matched the description of the suspect, remember, 5'10", 170 pounds, and male, and somehow this 115-pound, 5'2", woman, who's not bald, and the male suspect is bald, the cop says matched the description of the suspect that had brandished a machete. Her backpack was in her arm's reach, and the main compartment was on zip following her immediate access to the machete. Of course, there is no machete. After weighing whether he could use his taser or baton, Hargrove Moore wrote that he decided to unleash the dog. These people are nuts. In the police report, Moore wrote that the officers placed Hargrove in a police car. She continued to scream out the window at them for about 5 minutes. While Hargrove was in the back seat, I asked what her name was, and she provided as Titania. I said, don't lie to me. That's a girl's name. What's your name? The police report said, I'm a girl. I just don't dress like one. This was when I first discovered she was a female. The search of her backpack revealed no weapons, the report stated. A Bakersfield police spokesman told the Washington Post he would not comment further on the case, but confirmed that the department had determined that the officers had exercised appropriate use of force. In the video, Hargrove does not say anything about fighting back at the officers. I read the paper, my paperwork, though, and it said that I shoved an officer and flipped him on his back, she said in the video, adding a look of disbelief. There were dogs and guns drawn on me, like I would never do anything like that. Called the Bakersfield chapter of the NNACP, was automatically returned, yada, yada, yada. Thursday, let's see, the group is organizing a Justice for Titania rally. Thursday started a change.org petition to have charges dismissed and launched a crowdfunding page to raise money for her medical bills and legal fees. Hargrove's parents, who were interviewed for the video but not named, said it was extremely difficult for them to believe what happened to their daughter could be justified. Every day I have to change her bandages and I see the injuries that she has. It's really hard for me, Hargrove's mother said in the video, fighting back tears. Why should my daughter be charged with a crime? All she did was stop to get some frickin' water. Because it's 100 plus degrees. This is ridiculous, Hargrove, so a father said in the video. She was coming home to celebrate Father's Day with me. It's not right, it's not right. Well, of course it's not right. It's not even close to right. But it goes on every single day. Now, here, what do we got here? This is the Vatican has put a ban on gluten-free hosts. Vatican ban on gluten-free hosts a challenge for some Catholics. I see. The hosts used in communion had to contain at least a small of amount of gluten to be valid. This sounds like halal food. Of the Muslims. I mean, this is getting absolutely out of hand. Five CSIS employees are accusing the spy agency of Islamophobia, racism, and homophobia in a $35 million lawsuit. Now, there goes some more money. The $100 million just got paid out to the RCMP, which is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which is the Queen's police force. Because they said they had been hassled, harassed, sexually assaulted, and so on and so forth over a period of 40 years. And they just wrote a check for $100 million. Nobody ever went to court. Nobody was ever charged. Now, if you do these things yourself, and you're not in the police department, you're not a government official, you're going to court and likely to jail. But these people seem to be untouchable. So they just dumped $100 million into those who... And these people didn't quit working for the RCMP. They kept working for the RCMP. They're just getting some money out of your pocket. And now I see another $35 million hit coming here. Maybe it will be even bigger. Let's see what this has got. This is getting totally nuts. This is a quote from somebody. Careful your Muslim in-laws don't behead you in your sleep for being homo, a CSIS manager allegedly wrote in a 2015 email to an intelligence officer, one of several shocking incidents outlined in a statement of claim obtained by The Star. So this is the Canadian Security Intelligence Services, CSIS, and let's see, five intelligence... Where did they get to you? No, what the... Oh, here we are. Five intelligence officers and analysts with Canada's spy service have launched a $35 million lawsuit against their employer, claiming the Canadian Security Intelligence Service is a toxic workplace with managers who openly espouse Islamophobia, racist, and homophobic views, and discriminate against Muslims, blacks, and gay employees. The allegations contained in a 54-page statement of claim filed in federal court and obtained by the Toronto Star provide detailed accusations from inside one of the country's most secretive organizations. One of the complaints, a Toronto intelligence officer with more than a decade of service and identified in the claim by the pseudonym Alex, is gay and has a Muslim partner. Well, that's odd, isn't it? Because I thought Muslims didn't like gays. As a gay with a Muslim partner, according to the statement of claim, an October 2015 email sent to him by his manager, Simon, stated, careful, you're Muslim, yada, yada, yada. Another a boss, given the pseudonym Joe, allegedly wrote, you're just a fag hiding in your little corner sobbing. None of the allegations contained in the claim, which was filed Thursday morning, has been proven in court. CSIS Director David Vignigault issued a statement responding to the Star's questions about the claim, he's appointed as the spy agency's director last month, says CSIS takes any allegations of inappropriate behavior very seriously. I would like to mention that as an organization, CSIS does not tolerate harassment, discrimination, or bullying under any circumstances. Now, that's not true, okay? That statement there, I would like to reinforce that as an organization, CSIS does not tolerate harassment, discrimination, or bullying under any circumstances. Well, I forget what the guy's first name was, but McFadden, who was the head of CSIS, who kept bringing up the idea that that the politicians in Canada were being unduly influenced by Chinese, was brought before, and he was the head of CSIS, was brought before a all-party commission, of which they all jumped on his ass because he was speaking the truth. And the politicians have a plan for the West, and it is to destroy nation states, of which is going on here now. And what was his name? Was it Roy McFadden? Anyways, he stood his ground. There's videos out there. He stood his ground at that party committee as they raked him over to Coles. And told him he was wrong when he knew damn well he was right, and it's obvious he was right. And they pulled him out of there, and while he still has a job with the government, I think that he is parked in some little closet someplace where he will never be in front of a microphone again. So this idea that that CSIS does not tolerate harassment, discrimination, or bullying under any circumstances is ridiculous, because the head of CSIS was harassed, discriminated, and bullied and taken out of his position because he was attempting to alert the people of this nation that we were, in fact, in the middle of an invasion, of which we are, both from the Chinese and the Islamic factions. The service's values and ethics must be reflected in all of our behaviors and decision-making and reflect the CSIS employee code of conduct, principles, and respect for democracy, respect for integrity, stewardship, and professional excellence. Written by the United Nations. Here's a quote here. The public would be shocked about this if they only knew we keep our own secrets. A witness comment about alleged harassment at CSIS, according to a statement of claim filed in federal court. He also wrote that employees are encouraged to report real, potential, or perceived incidences of harassment without fear of reprisal to their supervisor or superior or senior management. Toronto lawyer John Phillips, who is representing the five employees, said in an email to the Star, "I am not in a position to provide a comment at this time." The lawsuit follows three scathing reports on RCMP harassment, including the May Federal Auditor General's report on the police force's failure to manage the mental health needs of its employees. Why don't you hire someone that's not mentally ill? You see, like the guys that jumped the 5'2" black woman who isn't bald, who weighs 115 pounds, saying that she matched the description of a 5'10", 170-pound, bald black male. That would only come out of the mouth that somebody is mentally ill. One of the problems we have here in the police forces and governments in general is too many mentally ill are filling the positions. While CSIS has come under scrutiny for past intelligent operations, this lawsuit is a rare public airing of internal complaints of an organization that was recognized as one of Canada's top 100 employers for 2017. Among the criteria cited by the Media Corp Canada Inc., which manages the competition, is the spy agency's attempt to help employees find balance between work and their personal lives. CSIS was given a B+ for work atmosphere and communications and commended for, quote, summer golf and softball tournaments, winter hockey tournaments, with time off for players and fans to raise money for the United Way and annual barbecue summer parties across the organization, long service award celebrations, and a special Christmas party for employees' children. What a great organization. And here's another quote. Hey, tap it. You're just a fag hiding in your little corner, sobbing. The five intelligent officers and analysts are identified by pseudonyms, the claim states, because they have been warned by their employer CSIS that they are forbidden from publicly identifying themselves as colleagues. The Star does not know the identity of the complainants. Under Canada Security of Information Act, identifying a spy can be considered an offense. All of the complainants are CSIS employees but are on medical leave due to stress and other mental and physical conditions that they claim were caused by the alleged abuse. Managers mentioned in the claim are also identified by fake names. In addition to Alex, the CSIS employees making the allegations are a Muslim analyst with more than 20 years at the agency who alleges he was told he should complain to Allah, a multilingual Muslim analyst who was allegedly called a sand monkey by his boss, a female intelligence officer, also Muslim and multicultural, or multilingual, who claimed she faced constant suspicion after deciding to wear a hijab in 2004. And the service's first female black intelligence officer who claimed she was told, "It's people like you the service likes to promote." Well, that's a true statement. All five alleged in the claim that they tried to report these the abuse, their circumstances got worse, and their complaints resulted in no action. Bahari, who says she was discriminated against as a Muslim woman, alleges CSIS has a culture of secrecy which does not accept whistleblowing or complaints regardless of the underlying harm. A gay boy who wanted to take gay selfies with a VIPS. What the hell is that about? Alex described in the claim as highly decorated employee who was in an elite management program, alleges that in addition to being called a fag or a gay boy, a manager reportedly joked to the services Toronto office during 2014 at all, meaning that Alex took it from behind. According to the statement of claim, one email concerning Alex states OT for the homo is approved. Simon, the manager who allegedly wrote some of the most offensive emails, often teased Alex about getting fat and allegedly posted an unflattering photo of him in a staff elevator. When a colleague removed it and complained to her director, she was allegedly told to mind her own business. Okay, so this goes on and on. Now, this is the problem we have here in the country. Okay, we are being now run by, I said this before, by the minority. Now, do I approve these kind of nasty name-calling things? No, because, I mean, if you're supposed to be a upper-level manager in Canada's so-called security group, and this is the best your brain can operate, then you ought not to be there because you're a danger to yourself and everybody else. I mean, if that's the way you operate, how did you end up in that position in the first place? So I certainly don't side with these people, but at the same token, or at the same time, why are these people acting the way they're acting? Because these people have infiltrated into positions of so-called power, and they're being promoted into positions of so-called power. And that rises the ire of people. Why am I bowing down to you clowns? Well, because you have to, because it's all about multiculturalism. It's all about gay rights. It's all about everything that was never normal in your country before. And now you have to suck it up because we're the minorities and you have to bow to all the minorities. And some in the majority don't particularly appreciate that. Bahar is described as an intelligence officer with more than a decade of experience. She decided to wear a hijab and cause an uproar and a string of suspicion so intense that it exists still today. She alleges her manager, the William in Charge, told her to report all activities connected with the Muslim community. She reported attending to the mosque biweekly and making donations randomly. Bahar was told that her security clearance could be revoked for associating with organizations or individuals in the Muslim community who could be perceived as anti-ethical to ceases. So this is going on everywhere. I see we got some tears in somebody's eyes here. When she complained, she alleges that rather deal with the issue, a director general asked her if she was frustrated being a second-generation Canadian Muslim. With tears in her eyes, Bahar listened to the director general explain that he perceived security threats emanating from second- and third-generation Canadian Muslims, clearly referring to her, despite the fact that she was a CSIS intelligence officer and subject to the same rigorous security clearances, non-Muslims. There's that damn thing again. Spent a whole bunch, $250,000 to take a plastic duck, a rubber duck, and the duck just keeps floating around. Mr. Duck.
Hey.
Where are you traveling at these days?
Well, I was at the grocery store earlier.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I think I've told you in the past. It's kind of online with what you're talking about. But my son hates taking me there. He hates it.
Well, that's because you won't shut up.
Yeah.
Right? You know, these are newcomers to the country and that. And you should, if you see someone with a high jab on or with some funny shoes or whatever. Jab, you should have.
They're not even speaking my language.
Well, it's not. Well, no, this no. See, there's where you're confused, right? They are speaking your language in the future.
Yeah, that'll be a new language.
We're changing the language out here. So you're one of those hangers on to the old things, right? You know, you need to move forward and embrace the new language. What?
The ones that built our countries, those guys?
Yeah, they're in the past. We're moving forward now.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'm sure our forefathers would have spent a vast fortune on a rubber duck had they had the ability to get their hands on rubber, but they didn't at the time, so they just made out of birch bark, called it a canoe. But no, it's so freaking bad, it's ridiculous. I mean, I can't remember what his name, I don't know if it was Roy McFadden or what, but I really invite people to look that guy up. Just put McFadden ceases. And you will find him being berated by all party committee, of which Bob Ray was a member of it. And I forget who else was on that committee, but they were just dragging him through the mud because he was exposing a threat to the nation, which they knew was a threat to the nation because they set it up. The politicians. And so they just ran over him and pulled his ass as head of CSIS and said, you're out of here, buddy. So all this nonsense, you know. You throw a bunch of, how is it that it doesn't matter where you look, you know, if you look at politics, what do you see? You're seeing dark-skinned people rising rapidly in the political sphere. And gays everywhere.
Well, we got a new female general, We got a new female astronaut is now the general, the governor general
of Canada.
Yeah.
First
female, everybody's so proud, eh?
Yeah. We don't need any males.
I wonder if she's transgendered.
Well, there's possibility, or she's, you know, I don't know what she is, and it doesn't really matter, but the fact that, you know, you have a female astronaut. Let me see. Now, what in the hell would a female astronaut have to do with being...
running your country?
Well, being the queen in place, yeah. What would that have to do with that? I mean, it's not a qualification, right? You know, like our last lieutenant governor of Ontario, which is the provincial governor general, was a weatherman, but he was in a wheelchair, David Onley, and that's when they were pushing access. Right. So they push access. So they need somebody in a wheelchair, just happen to be a weatherman. And when I called his office, you know, I said, like, okay, David is a ex weatherman in a wheelchair, and he's the one that signs the legislature into law. Now, obviously, if it was weather related legislation, I suppose maybe he would have a clue, but. Everything else is, you know, he doesn't understand legalese. So then the question was, does David ever read any of this stuff?
Well, I think he watched a Monty Python movie once.
Well, that's quite possible. But, you know, this is the lieutenant governor who's signing on as queen on this legislature that's coming through. Does he ever read any of it? No. Oh. So I guess anybody qualifies. Well, the point is that anybody qualifies to be a lieutenant governor or governor general.
Yeah.
Don't have to know anything. You know, we're pushing women.
Well, now that's what I'm saying. Now she's a woman. What's she going to be pushing for?
Well, there's the whole thing. Right. But they're also pushing this, you know, we got to populate Mars and all this kind of crap. So this will be, you know, she'll be set out as this big spokesman for the Mars bar people.
Literally the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. The corporation.
And people, oh, isn't it wonderful that so-and-so, whatever her name is, the new governor general. And then if you ask the people, you say, well, could you tell me what the role of the governor general is? No, I can't. Now, this guy looks Muslim. Art teacher arrested in alleged sex assault of girl 7 at the Junction Art Studio. Now, let's see if I can get this guy looks Muslim to me. Maybe he ain't. Oh, he definitely does. We got a name on this guy. The art teacher was employed. There's the details surrounding the incident have not been released by police to protect the victim's privacy. Jordan Pereira is charged with one count of sexual assault, but he still looks Muslim to me. Most definitely looks Muslim. I mean, this kind of stuff is completely out of hand, this nonsense. And it all boils down to the program, right? You know, I was looking for that what's her name anyways? Is that Bonhart woman? Or is this somebody else that's the...
Yeah, I think so. I think, I read her briefly this morning before I went to work. And we have a new female governor general. And
That make you all warm and fuzzy inside?
Yeah, and she's an astronaut. I went, well, what the hell has that got to do with being the governor general?
Yeah, but doesn't
we both know what the governor general does, but, you know, they can prorogue the parliament. I mean, come on. Think you would do that from Mars? Where do you do that from?
That picture seems to have disappeared off this particular...
An astronaut.
News seat. Yeah, I mean, an astronaut. But then the other one was from Haiti, right?
Yeah.
Right? Now, here's a story you might really like, Chris. Hala Food Festival showcases dishes from around the world. This is all about Hala food, but instead of just Hala food, they make it a multicultural event, but only foods there are Hala, and obviously there's no bacon.
Eggs allowed.
No BLTs there, no. But this is what they're promoting. All that you will see promoted in the newspapers and that is pro LGBTQ, pro Muslim, pro woman, and so the idea here, which I've been saying forever, is to totally erase completely and totally the whole idea of who the people were that founded these nations, which was the Christians.
So what you're telling me is there's no white guys in pickup trucks with shotguns in the back?
Well, there ought to be, but they seem to have disappeared. You know, we don't have what I would call, by the sound of CSIS, we have a bunch of lip-wristed, hijab-wearing people who are whining and complaining now and want their cut. I mean, as soon as they saw the money coming from the RCMP people complaining, they go, we can get in on this. We're being picked on. We're minorities. Well, that's not my problem. Deal with it. Suck it up. Right. You know, if somebody's continually see, this is what they've done. They've taken the man out of everything. You see, in the old days, if somebody come and started giving me a hard time for whatever, right, for having some Irish blood in me or something, you know, then I, you know, that's my opportunity to bust this guy's nose if you don't shut up. you know, you give them a warning, right? You do that again, right? You know, it's the old, your mama was nonsense, right? You know, and in the old days, you dealt with it. Now you go whining to the courts for money. Look what they said about me. And the judge is looking at this liberalistic faggot going, well, yeah, don't you look in the mirror, stupid? But he can't do that. Oh, you poor thing, you. You poor, poor thing, right? You're a 35-year-old man and you're crying. That's so freaking sad. We have to show you empathy. Here's a check for $10 million. Have a nice day, right? You know, well, yeah, where'd the white boys go? Now, Todd, I want to do this. I really want to do this one story a little. I'm not going to do it, but I'll stick it in the chat so people can read it. They're talking about, you know, the high cost of housing in Toronto and Vancouver and different cities. And but it's not just generally speaking, okay? This is how they twist shit to fit these little minority groups. And it says housing crunch is not the bane of the general population. No, sir. According to Toronto Star, the housing crunch is the bane of the LGBT community. The desire to push, this is just kills me. This just busts my gut because it's so retarded. The desire to purchase a house or create a family may force queer couples to move further away from neighborhoods that provide security and peace of mind, Emma Titel says. Oh, the Toronto housing market, the real estate freak show where a cool $1 million will land you your own, your very own condemned bungalow. I'm exaggerating, of course, but honestly, not by much. The city's prices are so unhinged that they've inspired not just government intervention, but enough depressing news articles to fill an entire waterfront condo. Some recurring themes. Toronto is one of the most unaffordable cities in the world. Millennials are doomed as usual. The only people who will ever own homes in the city already own them or happen to be very, very rich. In other words, welcome to the new feudalism. But there's another angle to the story of the sky-high prices in the six that hasn't been done to death. An angle I can't believe I never considered until today because it hits so close to home. What will soaring house prices and lack of affordable family rentals mean for the LGBTQ people? Specifically those who want to start families. Well, wait a minute. If you're LGBTQ, you can't start a fucking, excuse my language, you can't start a family. Right? Especially those who want to start a family. But you can't start a family. Because nobody in that group can procreate. It says here, my wife and I would like to have kids sometime in the next few years, but the chance of us buying a house in Toronto unassisted is slim to none, so we chose to buy. If we do choose to buy, we'll likely have to leave the city for the suburbs or who knows the country, which won't just mean a change of lifestyle, but a change in personal security and peace of mind. The LGBTQ people don't just settle in cities because they prefer amenity-rich, walkable neighborhoods with good coffee and good food, although we do tend to like these things, but because there's strength and comfort in numbers. It's nice to be around your own kind, not only to avoid discrimination, but because where there are gay and trans people, there are resources for gay and trans people. And perhaps most importantly, if you live in a neighborhood with a sizable LGBTQ population, there is far less chance your kid will be the only one in his or her class with two moms or dads. Well, if you got two moms or dads, you must have been a heterosexual coupling at some point, or you wouldn't have a kid in school.
We adopt.
I know.
But you know what you got me is when we want to be with our own kind.
Exactly. that's the whole point I was trying to get, because I was figuring I'm gonna grab on to that.
Okay, right. Carry on.
No, this is fine. I'll put this, unless LGBTQ Torontonians make a collective decision to plant a rainbow flag somewhere moderately affordable, like, say, Niagara Falls, we may have no choice but to buck the gay suburb trend and disperse far and wide where our kind is few and far between. What we will lose in the end isn't just a unified culture, a safety net, and a local bar that shows RuPaul's Drag Race, but something arguably way more precious, the luxury of feeling ordinary. Well, you're not ordinary, right? You say you're not ordinary. You say you're special. You want to be ordinary and special, right? You can't have it. But yeah, that you're really a community of our own kind. Well, we were a community of our own kind here, from coast to coast to coast. And this is what's going on here. I mean, I hadn't been to Brampton in decades. I roll in there, and I don't even know that this place is in Canada. I mean, I don't see anybody here that looks remotely recognizable to what I thought was a Canadian. So they move in and they take over entire chunks of a town or a city, and because they want to be with their kind. But the only kind that you can't be with now is your kind, which is the people who originally came here to build this nation. And it's time we push back, people. It is absolutely time we push back. This is out of Chicago, not this particular story, but this researcher looking at Chicago, I guess. Typically in a suburb directly adjacent to the city in which they once lived, as an example, points to Oak Park, Illinois, a neighborhood right outside Chicago that is now home to multiple clusterings of same-sex household and same-sex households with children. There are still not enough families with same-sex parents to make the neighborhood a gay neighborhood, but you walk down some streets and see a rainbow flag on the porch. In other words, there's a visible gay presence in the suburb of Oak Park. Says he wouldn't be surprised if the LGBT few people in Toronto followed suit and queerified a suburb of our own. And this is what's happening. And we need to put a freaking stop to it. It ain't normal. Okay? It's a freaking mental illness. And it's like the Muslim crap and this LGBTQ stuff is like viruses. And that virus is worming its way into your neighborhood, and your neighborhood ain't going to be your neighborhood anymore. Why? Because you have to bow down to the minority, okay? Which means the majority falls to pieces, which is not hard to see happening. And we need to step it up and do something about it. Because this is exactly, I mean, when you look about it, it's no different than what they did in the States. And they did that on purpose, and they're doing this on purpose when they brought the blacks into the white neighborhoods. Now, I don't have, again, understanding. Oh shit, we're out of time. Damn. Okay, I guess that's the show. Thanks for calling in, Doc. I didn't know I'd be dope. We'll be back. Oh, Saturday night.
Selling lies and buying time. Radio. Killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime. Yeah. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill. They master cocaine. They burn the kids. No one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die. This God will give.
is Ozzy's Skateboard.